Welcome back to the show, you guys. I am your host, Blair Dreesen, and today it's just going to be a little chitty-chatty between you and me on a topic that I am ridiculously passionate about, you guys. So today we're going to be talking about embodiment work, somatics, nervous system regulation, soul flow. We're also going to throw in some human design, you guys. Like, it's going to be real, real good. You're going to just hold on. Like, this is going to be fun. But also with saying that, I'm realizing like this conversation cannot be a one and done. I cannot even begin to go into just everything that needs to be gone into around this topic in literally one episode. So we're going to be talking more about this. I'm going to be inviting on guests to talk about this because it really is just such potent, powerful work. And I really want to make sure that you guys are really getting like a full picture of just how this work can really benefit you. Because there's a lot of different ways I feel like you can go about embodiment and somatic work. And there's a lot of different modalities out there. And in all fairness, there's a lot of people talking about it right now online. And as great as that can be, it also can start turning into these like buzzwords and it's all getting trending. It's just getting kind of being slapped onto like marketing because people think that that's, the cool trendy thing to do. And they may not be really as knowledgeable in what somatic work is, embodiment work is, or actually be like, have, really a lot of like education around this. And so me, I'm somebody who has been continuing my education in this and I'm currently right now in another certification around a body-based coaching method with my mentor, who is also not only the creator of that method, but also Soul Flow. And her name is Andy Love. And yes, I'm going to have Andy Love on this, on the podcast, because we're going to be talking about all of these things together. But I am a constant student of this work and I'm constantly integrating this work into my own life, into my own healing, and also learning, expanding so I can better hold my clients in this work. And so it is a lifelong investment into learning this work, integrating this work, and being able to teach this work to my clients. And so I just kind of really wanted to say that. And so you know that like we're going to have lots of conversations. So just kind of be aware of that. There's more to come. Also, on September 26th, I am doing a facilitator takeover over on the Soul Flow embodiment page. And I really am going to encourage you to head on over there, follow the Instagram page and follow along, because I'm going to be sharing some amazing kind of like behind the scenes, a day in the life of like how I'm incorporating embodiment work. And if you're somebody actually who's coming over and listening to this podcast episode from the facilitator takeover, like, hello, welcome to the podcast. Welcome to my little like slice of the world where I really love to be able to give women more resources and bring women together in a way that allows us to kind of like connect in our own healing. So welcome. I'm really excited to share more in-depth embodiment work with everyone. Also on September 26th, I am going to be hosting a free online Soul Flow session plus support group. It's going to be at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Again, I'm going to put everything in the show notes, the Soul Flow Embodiment Instagram page, the link to get signed up for the Soul Flow class. But yeah, I'm really excited for that day. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be packed full of a lot of amazing resources for you guys. And I hope that you go over there and check it out and support it, because like I said, it's going to be a lot of fun. Now, embodiment work, embodiment, somatics, nervous system regulation work. What does that all mean? What the hell is it? So let me just kind of share with you what my take on embodiment, like what does that actually mean to me? So embodiment really is about deepening this relationship and connection between me, my body, my energetic body, and really understanding this language in which my body is speaking and the signals that it's giving me, how it's guiding me, how does my intuition speak to me? Just what are all these emotions that I'm feeling? How am I being activated or triggered in different situations? All of the things, right? Like making sense of it all, and also utilizing the power of my body as this amazing tool in my healing journey, and how when you bring in the body, like the powerful, just the shifts that can occur when we bring the body in to the healing journey. And so, you know, the very first time I ever really learned or heard anything about somatic work, embodiment work, it was, oh my gosh, probably close to 20 years ago when I was in massage therapy school. Not many people know this about me, that I was in massage therapy school. I never got, I went through my testing, got everything done. And I was on the verge of getting my license. And I actually went to take the test. Did I go and take my test for the license? I feel like I did. Yeah, I did. No, I did. I went and took the test, was all ready to go. And then life happened. And I actually got pregnant with my second kiddo. And it was just at the time, it just didn't, I was like, I'm going to try to go and get a job and tell them like, oh yeah, by the way, I'm also pregnant. And it just didn't align. And for me, I love being a stay-at-home mom. It's always been something that I've always tried to like be home with my babies. And so for me personally, it was just life was happening. And I just, long story short, I never took all my training of massage therapy and actually worked as a massage therapist. But in massage therapy school, you know, they share a lot of this work. And the interesting thing is at the time they didn't say that that's what we were learning. We weren't learning these things. It wasn't saying like, oh, this is embodiment, or oh, this is somatic, or oh, this is nervous system regulation, or oh, this is activating this. Like it wasn't ever talked about in that way. But now in the lens of what I know about somatic work, and now I can look back on it and go, oh, like I was being exposed and taught this during that time. And actually when I even peel back even further, I can see how there were so many times in my life that I was just naturally being led to modalities and systems and areas where I could dive more into the somatic piece. And I didn't even know it, had no clue, but it all makes sense now. Like it's all of these full circle moments where I'm like, oh yeah, duh. It's no wonder that I'm here now doing what I do because of the things that I went through or the things that I was like searching for or the things that got me excited when I was in like school for certain things, the things that would like draw my interest and my ears would perk up and I'd be like, oh, I want to learn more about that. Right. And so this is an area when I was in massage therapy school that I remember specifically them talking about how when we would have a client on the table and we would be, you know, we're manipulating the tissue, we're moving tissue, we're moving fluid, and we're moving moving with the body, that there will be times that the person on our table is going to have an experience. And they could be activated on our table, and they could be activated in a lot of ways. They could be laughing. They could be crying. They could start feeling anxious. They could, you know, shut down. Like there's a lot of things that could happen for them. And we needed to be aware of that as a therapist, when we were working with their body and being, you know, how to honor that and how to like hold somebody in that. But also understanding is that because when we were manipulating the tissue, we're sometimes unlocking stored trauma within the body because muscle holds memory. And I remember when they said this, it was that muscle holds memory. I don't even think they said that it was trauma in the body, to be quite honest. And it's been a really long time, but I do remember them specifically saying all the time, over and over and over again, muscle holds memory, muscle holds memory. And so when we were manipulating the tissue and moving the tissue around, that we could activate these memories. And sometimes it wasn't even a conscious memory that somebody would have. And this did happen for people on the table for me, or when I was in class and somebody else was having a response, or it happened to me. And you're not really consciously aware of like what was happening. It was like all of a sudden the body started having a response. And you were literally in this either emotional response. Like I remember I was getting the giggles and the teacher had to come over and was like, what's going on? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm having a response right now. And it wasn't because they were, it was ticklish or anything. It was like, that was just what was happening. And the funny thing is that sometimes when I get nervous or uncomfortable, or I don't know what to say, I'll laugh. And I've unfortunately laughed at times that are probably inappropriate. And I recognize now it maybe is misconstrued by other people that maybe I'm being insensitive, or it seems childlike, or what have you, right? And I had to recognize, because that for me is just like a response. I'll laugh sometimes when I'm uncomfortable. Though I remember another student was like crying, and she didn't know why. And she kept saying, I don't know why I'm crying right now. And it was just because the body was having a response to the tissue being manipulated. And essentially it's because, like I said, trauma is stored in the body. Our emotions are coming from our body. And so these can be things from like physical trauma, from like a car accident, right? You know, I think that that's what most people think, like, oh, if you're massaging, you're manipulating maybe like tissue from like an accident, and I just say car accident as an example, or like surgery or something. But trauma can be in the body from also emotional and other situations like physical abuse, or other types of things that could have been happening in our life, like children, teenagers, you know, any period in our life. Our body is going to store that within the muscle tissue. And so when we're looking at how are we going to release these things, most people go and they maybe go see a therapist and they talk things out. And again, I'm definitely not knocking talk therapy. I've worked with many amazing therapists that have really supported me in a multitude of ways. And we also have to recognize that talking about things and sharing things openly in that way is just one piece for us to be able to move through trauma and emotions. So when we look at emotions specifically, so one, emotions are physically coming from our body, right? We are having an emotional response through the body, and we're feeling the sensations through the body of an emotion, right? You can think about an emotion and you're going to feel it, right? You can feel joy, you feel sadness, you feel anger, you feel scared, like you feel grief, like you feel all those things in your body, and you have different sensations that go with these emotions, right? And so emotions, when you break that word down, emotions means energy in motion. So when we're having these emotional responses, to be able to further release out this emotion, to be able to kind of close this loop around this experience, we have to be able to bring the body into the experience. And so that's essentially what I was doing when I was in massage therapy school. Now, unfortunately, a lot of times they didn't know where it was coming from, right? And this is where I think working with an embodiment practitioner, a somatic practitioner, somebody who's well-versed in this, they can better help you kind of make sense of things while also being able, how do we then regulate the body? How are we able to move through this? How are we being able to understand what the body is saying? And so that we can further shift the relationship to these things. And so we can move forward in our healing, right? Instead of just feeling like this stuckness. Now, the other thing that I realized when it came to somatic work that I didn't even realize that this is what essentially I was doing was when I was struggling heavily with postpartum depression. And the second bout, so I had postpartum depression with both of my children. The first time I had it, it wasn't good, but it wasn't as severe as the second time around. And I knew going into the second time, and I had warned my husband, and I, you know, my doctors knew that, I mean, this could happen, right? Because I'd had it with the first. Well, you compound the fact that I was extremely sleep deprived after my second, my first child, he just like slept very easily. I was very blessed. He like slept at 3 weeks old through the night. He just was a very easy baby, a very easy toddler. He was just like through his whole life, he was just like, just a very easy breezy. That's just kind of his personality. He just kind of goes with the flow. He just is, you know, it's just, if you ever hang out with Carter or just like are around him, he's just this very like chill kind of energy. That's just him. Always has been. Now, Landon, my youngest, he's just, you know, he's more colorful in nature. Is the great, I always joke around. You want to see the fullest exaltation of any emotion? Go hang out with my son for 24 hours a day. Go hang out with Landon, and you're going to see what does joy look like at its fullest. What does sadness look like at its fullest? What does rage and anger look like at its fullest? Because he literally just, he really exemplifies emotions at their fullest. And as a baby, he was just sensory wise, like he just needed more. And it makes sense because he also has high functioning autism. He has ADHD, anxiety. These are things that we didn't learn until like in the last like couple years. And his autism, we didn't learn about that actually until just recently within the last, this last year, it was suspected. And actually it was a little hard getting that diagnosis for him. Just because everybody was like, oh, well, he's really verbal and he's social and he's these things. And I was like, yeah, but I just knew. I was like, there's something more. And it made sense when we started looking at a lot of the sensory pieces for him, how he was as a baby. And so essentially he was up every 20 to 90 minutes for the entire first year of his life, breastfeeding. I kid you not. I wish I was exaggerating. Like, this is how little sleep I was getting. I was exhausted. I was sleep deprived. I was feeling like I was failing because here I had, you know, had one baby before and I was feeling like this one, I knew nothing. I could not figure out how to support him and help him and love him. And he was just on me 24/7. And I was going through all the waves, you guys, of just like, I'm the worst mother ever. I just can't do this. And it started compounding my postpartum depression to a place where it got very dark, very bad. And I'm calling my husband at work just in tears, just like, I don't think I'm going to make it through the day. I'm scared. I think you need to come home. I don't know what to do. And it was just a very difficult time for me as a mom. I honestly just felt like I was a drain. And I've talked about this before, and maybe you've been in my space for a while and you've heard me talk about how, it was this moment that I went and I was in our closet of our bedroom. And I was just curled up in a ball on the floor, just crying hysterically and just feeling like why am I here? I am a waste. I can't do anything right. I'm failing everyone around me. I'm a drain to everyone around me. This was also a season of life where we were financially not very well, doing well. I was borrowing a ton of money from my parents to stay afloat. We were just, it was not a good place. And I just thought I was failing everybody. And it would have been better without me. And it was in this moment where I was just in this, the lowest of the lows that I talk about, where I just had this breakthrough. Like in my breakdown came my breakthrough. And I just had this little glimmer of a thought. What if I just started kind of like what if I just started working out again and eating better? What if I just started moving my body a little bit? Like maybe that would help, because that was something I did after I had my first, is I'd actually gained a lot of weight with my first pregnancy. I'd gained like over 80 pounds with him in my pregnancy. And I had started working out for the first time ever in my life. I was never anybody who worked out. I knew nothing about eating healthy. And I was just like, I just need to start taking better care of myself. And so I had this thought of just like, maybe if I just start working out again. I know I'm so tired. Like the thought, I was like, I'm literally so tired. How am I going to work out? Am I nuts? How am I going to do this? And like, I'm going to eat healthy right now. Like, and my son also, he had dairy issues. So I had already eliminated all this stuff out with dairy because he had horrible acid reflux. I mean, you guys, it was so much. And I was thinking like, how am I going to do this? Like, I just don't know. But there was something in my body that was just screaming at me, move your body, nourish your body. And that was the only thing. And I clung to that. I just clung to it. And so I was like, all right, here's removing my body. And so that honestly, like that right there, again, I look back and I think there's the embodiment piece. There was the somatic piece. I just clung on to listening to this one signal that I got from my body, and I followed it, and I started adding in movement to into my life again. And I will also say I did go to the doctors. I did ask for some depression medication. I got on that for a little bit. So I do want to throw that in there, that I do feel like if you're somebody who is struggling, please talk to your physician. There is no shame in getting extra support in this. And if you're somebody who really just, I'm always here to listen. I'm always here to help somebody. I'm always here to give resources. I will also put in the show notes, there is an amazing website called psychologytoday.com that you can find a therapist, somebody in your area. You can do it online. You can literally plug in all your information to get you connected with somebody. So please, 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 if you're somebody who is deeply relating to my story right now, I urge you to reach out and ask for help. Because it was a twofold. It was, I started moving my body and listening to my body and what it needed. And I also asked for support. And I also told my husband, and I started telling my family, and I started getting the extra support that I needed to be able to be functioning every single day. Because again, it was just a really hard time in my life. So with that, as I started going through, I started moving my body again. This is when I started getting into working online. I actually, not everybody knows this. Some of you guys know this. When I very first started growing my business 11 years ago, I was in health and fitness. And I was, that's because health and fitness was starting to help me. I was helping me feel better. I'm starting to notice all of these shifts and these changes. And so then I want to help other women do that because I think I could really help women. And essentially, like, that was me getting into embodiment work. Really, I was like, I want to help women move their bodies and feel better. And it wasn't just about like looking better. It was also about just like physically feeling better in their body and connecting deeper to their body. Because I was having, you guys, like these very deep, profound experiences when I was working out, because I was very intentional and being very in my body and my practice and being very like connected. And so for me, this is how I started connecting. It was just working out. And as I started growing my business and I started working with women, this is how I started getting into mindset work and personal development. And then that kind of led into my spiritual awakening. And I started going down those paths, started getting into shadow work. I'm getting into subconscious reprogramming. I'm getting into inner child healing work. I started realizing like, this was the work that I was really doing more with my clients. It was less about fitness and eating plans and more about like, you know, understanding their body and understanding their traumas and understanding their emotions and all of these things. So I'm incorporating all of that stuff. And then it started moving into embodiment work and somatics. And this is where things really started to come together for me in my own healing journey and how I was working with my clients, because now I'm taking this love of movement and actually understanding how moving my body and actually starting to intentionally move my body, intuitively move my body, connecting into my body, understanding what the signals my body was giving to me, and bringing that together with everything that I had been learning within like trauma work and inner child healing and shadow and subconscious reprogramming work. Like when I brought those two things together, I was like mind fucking blown. Okay. And then this is where literally now where I've kind of landed into the work that I'm doing. And it's actually what really catapulted me into the soul flow world. So when I first was exposed to soul flow, it immediately resonated for me because I'm like, oh my God, these are literally all the things I love. I love movement. I love connecting in with my body. I love that I'm going to understand the language of my body more. I love meditation. I love mantras. I love music. And music is another thing for me, you guys. Like I have been playing, well, I don't currently play right now. I can say I could play the piano today if I wanted to, but I started playing the piano when I was 3 years old, by ear. I would sit there and I would hear a song played and I would go and I'd start playing it at three. It was freaking wild and crazy. And it was just this natural gift that I had. And so music was always something that I was very deeply drawn to. And music was always very pivotal over the years of when I would move through things. Again, things that I noticed when I was a teenager, I would sit there with music and it helped move things for me. And I would be able to be in this experience. I would close my eyes and I would listen to music, and it would be like the beats of the music or the lyrics of the music. And it was literally kind of helping me move through these emotions. And I would move and I would dance and I would just like be in this process in my room. And I had literally no idea, like, this is what I was doing. Okay. But when I heard about Soulful and I started learning about it, I'm like, oh my God, these are literally all the things that I love. I have to do this. I have to be a part of this. And I just, the vision and, you know, what Andy has like for the vision of this, I was like, oh my God, I want to be a part of all of it. And at the time too, again, I was moving through a lot of just heaviness in my personal life. I had some really traumatic things that had happened to me. And I needed to be in a space to be held and to hold myself and to deepen my connection again with myself. Right. And so I started as a soulful facilitator. I started my training in that. When was that? 2.5 years ago. Yeah, it was 2.5 years ago, because it was the beginning of 2021. And I started doing that. I started incorporating that more into my own healing work with my clients. And it was just profound. I just was like, this is insane. I can't even believe the shifts that I'm seeing in myself. I can't believe the shifts that I'm seeing in my clients. This was amazing to me. And so when Andy decided to open up the Master Practitioner Program, I knew immediately that I needed to be a part of that and I needed to do this. And so I'm a master practitioner now. And we're also talking in the talks right now of how I'm going to be helping further within the soul flow world and space. So stay tuned for what that even means. But yeah, when she was sharing more about how we can take soul flow and deepen the practice and really start integrating in these nervous system regulation tools and protocols, I was just like, oh my God, this is going to take a practice that's already so amazing and make it like, I mean, blow your mind, knock your socks off. What the hell? This is going to be amazing. So for those of you that don't even know what soul flow is, and I'm sitting here, I'm rambling about it, and you're like, I don't even know what it is. So soul flow is an intuitive embodiment practice that blends movement, meditation, mantra with specific music and beats so that you can drop out of your head and get into your body and really start learning this language that your body speaks. So it goes through this process. You go through these four phases within the practice, and it really further helps you just to like get reconnected into your body. And it actually, like, with the music and with the beats and how we pair it together within the practice, it literally helps you get into like this moving meditation where you're just really being able to listen to your body and like really connect into it in a way that is just like, this is why I say, like, you got to come and experience it, because even trying to articulate it and put it into words of like what the experience is like, I feel like I can't even do it justice, because everybody's experience is so different, because this is so intuitively led. Like, I take people through the process. I'm going to have guidance in it while we're moving through it. But at any time, I always am telling my clients, if at any time what I'm saying isn't resonating, you follow what your body is telling you. You do what your body needs. And so this can look like a lot of different things. And this is also why this practice is literally for everybody, because I've had people that just lay down. I just had a client just last week who joined an online class, and her back was hurt. And so at first she was like, I just don't think I can come on. I really want to do it, because she loves soul flow, but she's like, my back's hurt. And I'm like, girl, you know that we can do this like without you moving, right? Just be in the practice, come join, come experience it. You do not need to move. You can still be a part of it. And it was profound for her. It shifted a lot for her. It was amazing. She's still having downloads today. Like, she's still messaging me with things, right? So it is a powerful practice that you don't even have to move. I'm sorry, I'm like hitting the mic. If you hear that, that's literally my nails hitting the mic, because when I get excited and all lit up, like my hands start flying all over the place. But I even had a gentleman who was in an in-person class that I taught, and he had some restrictions in his movement with his back and his legs. And so he was kind of just in this very deep stretches and just kind of still on the floor. And he said, like, afterwards, he was like, that blew my mind. He was like, I was able to like move my body in ways that I haven't been able to move. And I was able to stretch in ways that I hadn't been able to stretch. And it was just like this really beautiful experience. And I felt like I really connected to my body in a way that I've never really felt I've connected before. Cause usually my body is like physically in pain, and that's all I ever seem to hear from my body. That's all the chatter I ever hear is like, this hurts, this hurts, this hurts, this hurts. And he's like, it was the first time he'd ever really felt his body like not be in the pain, and hearing the pain come through. He started hearing his body talk and say other things, and he connected. It was amazing. And so, yeah, that's why I say, like, you got to come and experience it, whether with me or other facilitators. You guys, I'm also going to put the link for the calendar for you to go on and see if there's SoulFlow in your area in person or for online. If a class with me doesn't line up with your schedule, maybe there's going to be another one with somebody else. So you can definitely see what other facilitators and master practitioners have available for you. But I just keep saying, like, get in the room, check it out. I'm telling you, it is absolutely amazing. And so for those of you that are like, well, you know, this master practitioner, like, what does that mean in terms of like these nervous system tool? Like, what are we even talking about? So master practitioners are actually trained in additional hours within their SoulFlow embodiment training so that they can utilize different certain nervous system regulation tools and different somatic tools that are rooted in systems like somatic experiencing, breath work, EFT, like some other, like there's a whole bunch of stuff, right? Like these protocols are rooted in. And so we're trained in 9 signature movement protocols that we can bring into the practice to really deepen the experience for our clients. And so this can like look like a lot of, like I said, it can look like a lot of different things, but it really is absolutely amazing. And so again, I think like if you're somebody who's new to embodiment work, new to somatic work, I feel like SoulFlow is just such a fun way to open yourself up to embodiment practices. And just like, because the music, I love the music. The music for me, it, as a facilitator, I geek out over. I love building the playlist. I love being able to take people through like this experience that's also deeply like sensory activating. And it's just like in the most beautiful way possible. And so, yeah. I was like, what more can I say? Like, I feel like it could go on and on and on. And we're going to talk more about SoulFlow and future episodes. I want to do a whole episode on just SoulFlow embodiment and have Andy come on and just like us share and talk more about this. But the other thing that I think is really key that I really want to bring into this conversation is actually how I love blending my passion in somatic and embodiment work with human design. This to me is where things really just like explode even more in the amazingness. And I'm going to do actually like a series on human design. So be on the lookout for that, where I'm just going to start dropping episodes. We're going to learn more about like what human design is, the energy types, all of the things. Because I get a lot of questions a lot from people that are like, what is human design? I don't get it. Or I found out in a manifesting generator, but I don't really know what the hell that even means. And so I'm going to share more about that. But for me, when it comes to like embodiment work, I feel like human design has been so instrumental in even furthering my understanding of my energetic body, because it's become the supportive tool and how I learn, like, how do I absorb energy? How do I absorb information? What are my natural energetic flow states? How am I creating and or moving energy back out into the world? How am I being conditioned by the world around me? And how does this like play out in my day-to-day life? How is my intuition speaking to me? How is that actually, you know, how is my intuition speaking through my body? How can I learn how to be able to be making aligned decisions based off of like this information that my body is saying to me? Like, human design is it really, when it comes to embodiment work, I feel like it gives such a beautiful framework for it. Because then when I like, so for me, when I'm working with a client, and so this is the thing, like I used to do human design readings, and I found that as beautiful it was, as amazing it was, I found like it's just the information, right? But it's not about like, but how do you embody this? How do you actually integrate it? How do you actually experiment with human design in your life? And so I feel like when you bring in like the embodiment pieces with this experiment of human design, it really just shifts things. And so for me, that's what I really love, is being able to better help people not just understand how their body is absorbing energy, or how their intuition is speaking, or how they're kind of like creating in the world, but then how can they combine that with like within the nervous system regulation work? Because I really do truly feel like it goes hand in hand. And so again, I'm going to be sharing more about this. I'm going to share more about it in future episodes, of how that all kind of integrates together. But for me, when I think embodiment work, I also group human design into that, like hugely, because of just how I've seen how it plays out, again, in my own day-to-day, but also when I'm supporting my clients. Because when I understand like, oh, my client is, you know, a 2-4 generator, and an emotional authority, like you might be hearing me say that and go, I have no clue what the fuck that even means. But for me, when I'm looking at somebody's chart and how their energy flows, like that better helps me like to give them an even better, deeper understanding of just themselves and their energy and how they're working with their own energy in a day. And essentially for me, that again, with embodiment, that's a lot of what we're doing. We're connecting with our body, connecting with our own energy. And so this, again, it's just a framework for that. So yeah. So that, you guys, is what embodiment means to me, and somatics, and how I integrate that and how I use that. And of course, like I'm saying, please join me over on the Soulflow embodiment page so you can see more of like how I'm integrating things and how I use embodiment practices. And, you know, and I want to say this too, just a little side note, that even though I'm going to be sharing with you guys, like what a day in the life, I want you to know that this is not always a typical day. Okay. I really want to like give that as like, so that we all understand, because we're all in different seasons of life. We all have different day to days, things shift, things change. So it's like what I was doing, like I said, like when I told you, when Landon was a baby and he was not sleeping very much, my embodiment practices, my time for myself looked very different than it does now. You know, my oldest is 21. He's, you know, he's off living his life. My now 12-year-old, who just turned 12 today, this is when I'm recording this, he turned 12 today, he's at school right now, right? So my day looks completely different than, you know, 11 years ago or 20 years ago. Because seasons of life, things change. So we have to understand that when you're following along my journey, and I do share this within, I'm going to share this within the takeover day and really make sure that people understand this, that this is about finding what works for you in the season of life that you're in and the day to day you're in, or even in the current season, and checking in with your body. Like today, actually, like my parents spent the night last night because we all hung out as a family last night together and did dinner and all the things. So they ended up spending the night. So this morning, my day in the morning, it looked very different because my dad was here and I was sitting there wanting to enjoy having a conversation with him first thing in the morning after Landon went to school. And, you know, my day is going to look also a little different because Landon gets out of school at like 1 o'clock today. He's not in school for full day. And then it's his birthday. And then we're going to be doing all these other things. So it's like, I will shift and change into like, what do I actually need today? And setting that intention of like, what am I actually needing for today? How am I needing to help and serve myself today? What actually feels good today? And being okay with like, it doesn't have to be this cookie cutter routine. Now for some, you might need that routine. For some, you might be like, no, Blair, I need to have the checklist. I need to have the routine. That is what, how I flow better, right? Like, and just figuring out like what feels best for you. Don't just do what everyone else is doing because that's what everybody else is saying to do. And you think that that's what you have to do in order to be successful or in order to, you know, shift through things or be on this healing journey. Like you have to do it, you know, this certain way. Like actually feeling into like, but does that even work with my life right now? Does that even align with my own intentions? Does that even feel good in my body? And like, this is what embodiment work is. It's connecting into you. It's connecting into your signals, your body, your intuition, your discernment, you owning your energetic body and saying like, this is what is correct for me. This is what feels good to me. So I just want to really like kind of like close out the call today, us chit and chatting, just making sure that we're kind of on the same boat about this, because I would never want anybody to look at the things that I do and think, oh man, in order for me to be successful in some way, I need to do it the way Blair does. Or, oh man, my kids are really little right now. I don't have time for that. Like then I'm not going to be able to do X, Y, Z. Like, I don't want that to be what the takeover is about. I want it to be more about like, look at all these other fun things that maybe you didn't even consider could be a part of embodiment work, could be a part of nervous system regulation work, that could actually be ways to connect into yourself that you didn't even like connect those two things together. And let me just say, that's something that I kind of pride myself in. I want to be this connector for women of connecting into themselves, connecting into their life, connecting into their relationships, connecting into their business, connecting to their higher power, whatever that case may be, but honoring that connection within the season of life that they're in and their day-to-day life and what works for them, and actually being like, no, this is how I want to do things, and freaking like taking action or having movement in that thing, and not letting society, not letting, you know, our ego voice tell us, not letting other people tell us how we need to do it, not even letting me, how I share things, you to feel like you have to do it my way, right? So I hope that makes sense. I hope that lands. I love you guys. I'm really excited for the next several episodes that I'm going to be recording. Like I said, we're going to get into some human design. We're going to get into more embodiment stuff. We're going to be talking about soul flow more. It's going to be a lot of fun. So stick around. And yeah, I hope that I see you guys in a future soul flow class. If you have questions, if you have like things that you want, whether it's soul flow, embodiment, human design, whatever the case may be, please DM, message me. Let me know, what questions you may have. If this episode was supportive for you, please share it, tag me on Instagram, and, share it with other people, share it with your friends, share it with other women, because like I've said time and time again, when women come together, this is where deeper healing can occur. And I truly feel that this podcast gets to create this like sacred space online in this podcast where we as women come together. Because just think, it's not just you listening to this podcast right now. It's hundreds of other women, thousands of other women listening to this podcast right now, connecting into this energy, setting this intention of learning, of growing, of healing, and you're connecting into that. And I want you, as you know, for future episodes drop, that's the intention that you hold, that you're connecting in with these other women in ceremony, in sacred space, learning, growing, healing together. And so with that, I want to thank you for listening, for being in this space with me, for allowing me to come in and kind of just share my own knowledge, my own perspectives. Hi, I'm a 4-1 projector. If you don't know, I got my own perspectives of things that I love to share back to the world. It's a lot of, that is actually a part of my design, which we are going to get into, and we're going to talk more about it. I'll kind of like share more about what that even means. But yeah, just thank you for being here. And I love you guys. And I really look forward to chatting with you on the next episode.